cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is Dr. K. Daniel Free. I'm so glad that you have come to listen to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. We would really appreciate if you would tell us what the call letters are of the radio station and the time that you're listening to the broadcast. This would help us immensely. Now, we'd like you to listen to the last program on the series that I preached, The Tabernacle in the Wilderness. And this will be the last program of the series. For those of you that have been throughout the whole series, I'm sure it's been a great blessing to you. So we ask that you will consider what saith the Lord from his holy oracles pertaining to some of the greatest truths that you will ever hear, as is seen in the tabernacle in the wilderness.
World, when he actually puts his foot down on the earth, amen, and all hell breaks out. Yeah, that's exactly right, when he puts his enemies under his feet. It won't be glorious to them. Oh, no. It'll be judgment. He'll be coming as a judge. But for us, he's coming to us as our Savior, as a Lord and Savior. That trumpet is a call for the bride to come up. It's also a call for the nation of Israel to call them into repentance. They'll realize, number six feast, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Israel as a nation will realize that Jesus is their atonement. They'll look upon him whom they have pierced. Amen? And they'll recognize him once, after all these years. They'll recognize that he is the atonement. And then, at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, there'll be 1 year millennial reign. That's the tabernacles. Amen? That's what the Jews do. They set up these booths. Amen? And the lion will lay down with the lamb, amen. And the snake won't bite your little kid. It'll be peace upon this earth. It'll be like the Garden of Eden. Everybody will be eating like Lester Roloff. You'll never have pork chops for the rest of eternity. Hallelujah! You won't miss them. I guarantee you that. But we won't have a T-bone steak either, because we won't need to eat meat. We'll not be carnivorous. We'll be vegetarians. In fact, we won't be. We'll have a glorified body, and we'll eat whenever we want to eat. We'll never have to eat because we have to eat. Glory! Amen! What a life! What a life! Never have to sleep. Wow. Man, that's the cycle of the feast right there. There's seven. So there's perfect festivals before the Lord. All right, there's more I can say on that. Well, here's the labor. Now, see, there's the water. And man, you'd stick your head in that thing, and you see your heart in the light of His Word. Amen. Without the water, you just see your face. As a natural man looketh, right? That's what Paul said. But if you look into that water, you see your heart. The Word of God reveals who you really are. Amen? The thing is, if you're not using the King James Bible, you're not going to get a very good reflection of what's really in there. You'll get a lot of good self-esteem. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, if there is not the pure Word of God in there, you'll not get clean at all. Now, how much dirt does it take to make dirty water? Not a whole lot of dirt. Just a little dirt. And it's corrupt. But this is the pure Word of God. David said, "Thy Word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it." Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, he says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity," amen, "but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." We're looking into the perfect law of liberty. Amen. We're looking through the perfect Word of God, and it will reveal who we really are. Amen, amen. There are no measurements for the laver. That tells us that we can get clean any time of the day. We don't even have to wait until the tabernacle. We don't have to wait until they wake up there. Amen. We can get clean any time. Hey, we can, if we have to, there's sometimes we're so busy and there's no place for me to get in the closet. I have to go into the bathroom. He's all about, "You shouldn't read the Bible in the bathroom." Well, why not? It's better than not reading the Bible at all. Amen. I can get cleaned up in the bathroom spiritually. I get cleaned up in there physically. I might as well get cleaned up in there spiritually if I have to. Amen. I can take that labor wherever I go, brother. Am I right, Brother Tim? I can take it with me everywhere I go. Hey, how many Bibles you got? How many King James Bibles you got? You got more than three? Raise your hand. Hey, look at that. You not only got one labor, you got three or four labors. You got labor in every room. Amen. We need to use it. Don't let it collect dust. This labor was never covered. So whenever they transport it, that symbolizes that it's always available. The fact that there's no measurements, it's inexhaustible. We can always get cleansing. I don't care what kind of sin you've committed as a Christian. The water is there for cleansing. Amen. You believe that? Do you believe that Jesus shed His blood for every sin that you've ever committed? Every sin you're ever going to commit? I do. Now, I don't look forward to sin. If you're saved, you don't look forward to sin. But when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And the Word of God cleans us up. Amen? That's why I'm saying, don't wait until the end of the day and ask God to forgive you for all your sins. You're not exercising your priesthood. How many times do you think the priests wash their hands and feet? Many, many times during the day. How many times should you wash your feet? Many times during the day. Amen. But have you noticed something? We haven't even got into the holy place yet. We haven't even prayed yet. Now, this is going to be a shocker for some of you. All right, there's a split there. Just kind of show you how the labor was. All right, here's some of the utensils. Here's the flesh hooks, all right. And the shovels and all that. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of utensils had to be used. This was quite an operation. Amen? All right. Here's the four coverings. I kind of went over that already. But that's just to show you those four coverings. Now, they have a white goat hair there. I don't agree with that. But anyway, I just kind of marked it there a little bit. And there's the first covering. And with all the tapestry and everything. Now, looking on without the covering, looking from top to bottom. Look at that. The pure gold. Pure gold. Here you got the five pillars with gold caps. They're the pillars overlaid with gold, gold on shittim wood, and they're in sockets of brass. That speaks of the perfect humanity of Christ, speaks of His deity, and still reminding us, there's five of them, that the only way we're going to get into the holy place is through the grace and by the grace of God. Amen? Even the door. This is called the door. Now, He did say, "I am the door." The gate is not the door. The eastern gate's not the door. There's a difference between the gate and the door. Amen? And I showed you that unsaved people will slip into that gate. They'll look like Christians, but not really. But in order to get in here, Jesus said, "I'm the door." And I'll tell you one thing. You better be saved if you're going in there. Because if you're not, He'll kill you. And if you're a backsliding Christian, you haven't been washed on that laver, and you seek to try to get in the holy place, he's going to make you sick. That's right. He may kill somebody in your family. He's going to chastise you. If you're a child of God, he'll chastise you. And if he doesn't chastise you, guess what the Bible says? You are a bastard. That's right. Not illegitimate. Bastard. That's a terrible word, isn't it? But it's in the Bible. And that's how terrible it is. And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't chastise you, I'll tell you what, you better be concerned about whether you're saved or not. You better examine yourself, see if you're in the faith or no. Amen? I know about you, but I know he chases me. Oh, man, he chases me all the time. Is he chastening you? You better thank God he's chastening you. That's an evidence that you're saved. So we get in here, all we see is gold, primarily gold. These pillars, we got five pillars here, and the actual, you might say, the actual structure here is made of 20 boards on the north side, 20 boards on the south side. On the west side, we have the six boards and the two in the corner. And all together, there's supposed to be 48 boards. That's six and two. So there's eight boards in the back. There's one for every corner. One for every corner. And that makes a total of eight. Six plus two. Six is the number of man. Two is the number of communion or fellowship. Remember? So man has communion with God. Six plus two means eight. They have a new beginning. Amen. Every board is 10 cubits by 3, a feet, and that we know three, that's 3 halves, that's 1.5, and that's 3 halves. So 3 is the number of Godhead, and 10 is the number of completion. All right? And then they're all made, overlaid with gold. There's 4 rods on one side, and 4 rods on the other side. All right? Now here are some of the dishes where they use the olive oil in some of these, and the incense where they break it down and make it in small parts. You notice the emphasis in the Bible where it's beaten down, amen? And all this speaks about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime you see the word beat, anytime you see the word burnt, anytime you see the word roast, it's speaking about the sufferings of Jesus Christ, okay? All right, now. There's a lot. I'm getting into all this good stuff. Now, we're in the holy place. Now, I told you. How did you get into the holy place? You're exercising your priesthood. Amen? Don't expect to get in there, and don't expect to appreciate this if you're not exercising your priesthood. Here it is. The first thing you're going to have to see is going to be the candlestick. The Bible doesn't say candlesticks. It says the candlestick. It's one stick in his mind. What they did is they took a slab of gold, 1 talent of gold. That's a lot. And the Bible says they're supposed to beat that candlestick. One slab representing God. One God. Gold represents God. Amen? One slab. Had to beat that and beat it and beat it and beat it and beat it. And I'll tell you what, wasn't easy. Wasn't easy until it got into the shape of something, what you see right there. Amen? Now, there's only one place in the Bible that God ever got beat up. That's at the cross. We beat him up. Notice there that the Bible says there's knops and there's flowers and the bowls that hold all of them together. If you were to count them all up, you come up to 66 of them. Amen! Before the Bible was even complete, God's saying, there's more revelation to come about Jesus. Amen? That's right. 66 books of the Bible. There's no windows in here, in the holy place. There's no light coming in there except what's going to be lit here. You're not going to get any light on your life. You won't be in the glory unless you realize Christ is the light. He's your light. He's the light of the world. Amen? And when you come out of the holy place, you'll be beaming with that glory. Just like when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he saw the face of God, he saw the glory, he saw the light, and when he came down, the Bible says the glory was upon his face. When you get out of the holy place, amen, that glory is going to be beaming off of your face. You'll have the countenance of godliness. What a blessing, amen. The Bible says we're children of light. But I tell you what, there's a lot of churches I go to, when they come out of the church meeting, you don't think they're no more saved than when they came in the church meeting. Amen! When we come into the house of God, we ought to come in with the glory shining, don't you think? That's when we're going to have a worship service. Yeah. When we come in with the glory already on our face, then we're going to have, they're going to have a good time. Hey, then we're going to have some shouting. Yeah, then we're going to be singing. Amen. We're in there. We're in the light. As He is in the light. When we're in the light, as He is in the light, then the Bible says, we have fellowship one with another. Why is it we're having division in our church? Why is it there's always schism? Why is it that there's always arguments? Why is it always disagreements? Why is it always bitterness? Why is it always resentment? Because there's some people in here are not in the light as He is in the light. And because we're not all in the light as He is in the light, we cannot have fellowship one with another. Amen! Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. So that's why when you come into the house of God, you need to come into the house of God already with the glory on your life. Amen. That's right. The Bible says, I want you to make these things here that where the oil comes in, I want you to make them in the shape of almond shells. Why is that? Well, this represents God, and there's only one God, and we know that Jesus must be God. I wonder what the Jehovah so-called Witnesses do with this. If this represents God and also represents Christ, amen, that must mean this represents that Christ is God. And He is. He is the I Am. Right. But it says here, almond shells. In Israel, the first tree that blossoms is the almond tree. The first tree. The first fruit is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then these flowers here, as in some of the other pieces of furniture, even as described in the temples, Solomon's temple, they said they were lilies. And I only know one lily of the valley. What about you? Jesus is the lily of the valley, isn't He? This whole thing is speaking about Jesus here. Now, there's three branches over here and three branches over here. But there's a middle stem right there. Now, I believe that represents there. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine. Amen. I'm the true vine. And ye are the branches. How about that? If you abide in me and I abide in you, hallelujah, that's the way it ought to be. See? We get all our nutrients from the main vine right there. And so there it is, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we get our light from the source of all light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're starting to get a little glimpse of the glory. Amen? You're starting to get a little glimpse of the glory. Now, this also represents the Bible, because I mentioned 66 books of the Bible. So you never go without being in the Bible. You cling yourself by the Bible, the labor, and now you're getting closer and closer to the glory. You've got to get more and more into the Word of God. And still, we haven't prayed yet. Isn't that strange? We have been in the Bible all this time, and we haven't prayed. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, the next thing we have to do, as a priest now, we're in the holy place. Isn't that great? Don't you like being in there? Everywhere you look, it's gold. All you see is God. You don't see yourself. You're not selfish. You're not looking for your own needs. You're not concerned about your own problems. All you are engulfed and overwhelmed with the majesty and the glory of the things of God. Isn't that something? All you see is gold. All you see is God. That's the way it ought to be. That's all. That's the way your devotional life ought to be. Well, next thing we have here is we have the table of showbread. That's 1 cubit wide and 2 cubit long and 1.5 cubit in height. I believe that's exactly right. Now, if you put all the halves together, you know, it has a 1.5, you know, in the tabernacle you have a lot of halves mentioned there. Have you ever often wondered why the halves, why doesn't God just round it off? Why is it half here, half there, half there? I'll tell you why. One reason I know why, the half has not yet been told, amen, about Jesus Christ. There's still a lot more that we're still discovering about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I believe the half is there. But if you look at all those halves, 1 cubit is 2 halves, right? Got that right now. So if you add 1 cubit, 2 cubits, 1/2 cubit, I believe it comes to 9/2. 9 is the number of fruit. Now get a load of that. You don't even start having fruit until you come through the labor. You enter in. You have to enter in through more of a narrow passageway, 15 feet wide. Amen. It gets more narrow. You enter in through the narrow passageway. The first thing is you got to make sure that that candlestick is lit. Amen. You got to keep it trimmed. You sure do. You got to keep it trimmed, and you got to have light so you know what you're doing, and then the light shining on the showbread. And there it is, the number 9. Well, number 9 is the number of fruit. Now here's a shocker for some of you. The shocker is this. The Bible says when we got saved, some bring forth 100-fold, some bring forth 60-fold, and some bring forth 30-fold. But they will bring fruit as a result of being saved. You all agree with me on that? Now the question is this. In Galatians chapter 6, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It talks about temperance, patience, peace, joy, love, right? There's 9 of them. Now, this is what is wrong with most of us. Some people come in here and say, Brother Tim, look at me. I'm all full of love. Don't you see? I love everybody. But they go home and they have absolutely no patience with anybody. Now, there's something wrong with that. If you come into the house of God and you got 100% love, amen, and you go back home and you only got 30% patience, you don't have fruit. Your fruit's out of whack. Because it's one fruit. It's not fruits. Here's what it means. If I have 60% love, I'm going to have 60% patience. If I have 60% patience, I'm going to have 60% joy. It's not going to be out of kilter like that. People come in here and have 30% joy, they'll leave here with 30% love. They'll leave here with 30% temperance. They'll leave here with 30% peace. But I'll tell you one thing. If you leave here with 60%, 80% love, 80% joy, then you'll leave out there with 80% patience. You'll leave out there with 80% temperance. You see how that works? It's fruit. And it's amazing. It's like a tree that has apples and oranges and bananas and plums all on the same tree. That's the only kind of tree like that. It's the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. See that? So, how much fruit do you got? How much fruit you got? You got 30%? 60%? 100%? Well, I can show you how you can have 100% fruit. Here it is, a table of showbread. There are 11 bread. 6 on one side, 6 on the other side. There's 12 of them representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Why are there 6 on this side and 6 on that side? Again, 6, that's 66, isn't it? 66 books of the Bible. It's on 11. Meaning, there's no sin there without leaven. The Bible says, purge out the old leaven that you might become a new lump. You got any leaven in your life? I already spelled out a couple of things. Some of you might be guilty of that. Amen? I'm serious. You might be guilty of some of that leaven in your life. Are you willing to purge it out? This will be the real test. That when you're in a holy place, you are going to bear forth fruit. And that fruit is going to bring forth love, temperance, patience. Amen. And then you'll have less and less leaven in your life. Now listen, a Christian never becomes sinless in this life. But he will sin less and less and less. As we are in the light and as we're feasting upon the Word of God. Notice again, this is overlaid with gold. And notice how there's a crown around there, around that table that speaks of Jesus Christ is the King. Around the burnt altar, the altar of burnt sacrifice, there was no crown. Why? Because He came as a Lamb, the Lamb of God. Amen? But here we're speaking about Jesus Christ, who is now King. And He's sitting there upon the throne at the right hand of the Father. And again, the staves are in there. And beloved, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and referring to the quotation in Deuteronomy chapter 8, which I'll quote basically from that, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Now, before, let me ask you a question. Before you, let's say you got a problem. Let's say you got a marriage problem. Or let's say you're having a hard time raising your kids. Or maybe you're having a hard time at work. These are all everyday problems, right? Or maybe there's a problem I'm not even mentioning. What's the first thing you should do? The first thing you should do is don't be turned on the radio and listen to what Dobson has to say about the problem. Amen? Don't go and call some psychiatrist somewhere. Amen? Don't even call the pastor yet. The first thing you need to do is bask yourself in the Word of God. Fast if you have to. Get alone with God. I mean it. Get alone with God. Seek God. Seek God. But folks, I want to show you something that's spectacular. Everybody wants to get in the glory. But did you notice that the praying is the last thing before you get into the glory room? This is the altar of incense. See, the offerings produce a sweet-smelling odor into the nostrils of God. Because those were animals there. Amen? It was a savor. A savor. That's a result of animal smell. But here is incense. And when that incense goes up, it's sweet. There's a difference now. It's a sweet incense. Sweet into the nostrils of God. And I tell you what's so great about this, is that this altar of incense, that's where the angel met Zacharias. Amen? That's where he met Zacharias. And the Bible speaks about the altar being the place where the prayers of the saints are going up. Amen? And that's where that incense is, where all our prayers are going up. And God puts our prayers into a bottle. Isn't that a blessing? The prayers of the saints are put in a bottle, are kept as a memorial. And I say one thing about that. That as the prayers go up, the grace of God comes down. As the prayers go up, the glory comes down. But folks, the praying comes after you're in the Word of God. The praying comes after you've been having your feet and your hands washed. You see what I'm saying? As somebody would ask me, Brother Free, what's the most important thing in a Christian's life? They'd say, well, I better pray first. I don't agree with that. I think the most important thing you ought to do is get yourself in the Word of God. Amen? I mean, overwhelm yourself with the Word of God. You got to get your heart conditioned so that you can pray to God, so that you know how to pray to God. And then when you're ready, you're in the holy place. Everything about your worship is God. Everything you're thinking about is God. Then you can offer your prayers to the Lord. And then your prayers go up. Amen? And then it sends a sweet-smelling incense into his nostrils. That's what it's all about right there. The altar of incense. Again, the staves are in there. Again, it has a crown around there. He's the king. He's an advocate. He's a high priest. There he is, the high priest. Notice what a nice beard he has on his face. I like that, Brother Tim. Amen? Nice beard. I wish I could wear one like that. The brethren wouldn't like it. They wouldn't receive me. They have a hard time receiving me the way I am right now. Amen? Except for you, dear folks. You're straight. But quickly here, we're almost ending. Quickly, there he is, the golden censer. He has to bring that in, past that veil. Because he cannot expose himself to the Ark of the Covenant. If he does, God will kill him. That smoke of incense will go up. It will provide a cloud over the ark to protect the high priest from being killed. Because I'll tell you one thing, when you're in the glory, if you get too much glory, it'll kill you. Amen? It'll kill you. That's why God sent that thorn into the side of Paul, because he was up there in the glory world. And when he came back down, you know, he was very easy for him to be lifted up in pride. So God sent that messenger to buffet him. Remember that? To keep him in line. And so that smoke goes out there. But look at it. He has an ephod. It's like an apron. And the same colors that was on the gate, the same colors on the door, the same colors on the veil, the second veil, is on his apron. There on the breastplate you have the seven stones. Every stone represents one of the tribes of Israel. It's on the very heart. It's placed right on his heart. And that's exactly where Jesus has our prayers. That's where we are. We're always on his heart. 24 hours a day, amen, you can go to him in prayer. Guess what? You'll never get a busy signal, amen. Amen. He's never too busy to talk with you. He's never too busy to answer your prayer. I like that. And then on his shoulder, we have the onyx stones. There's six on this side and six on that side. And that speaks of Jesus Christ being ruler. He is ruler over our lives. On his mitre, his head covering there, is the words, holiness to the Lord. That's what it's all about. You notice he has a blue garment underneath the ephod that speaks that he comes from heaven. And of course the high priest is the type of Jesus. On the bottom of that blue garment we have the pomegranates that speaks of fruitfulness, and the bells speaks of the joy of the Lord. Isn't that great? I don't know about you, I'm having fun. Amen. I'm fun. I like it. I really do. There it is. The high priest. And the Bible says that that was given to the high priest for beauty and for glory. But when he gets past that second veil, he's going to take that off. And all he's going to be wearing is a white linen cloth. Because the only thing that's going to be in there won't be anything about man. It will be 100% about the righteousness of Christ. See that? All right? We're just about done. There's the second veil. That's the veil that represents Christ's flesh. Before I get into that, let me just mention here that these boards were in these sockets of silver. They tell us that it took one talent, the Bible says one talent of silver for every socket. They said it would take the redemption money of 12,000 men to purchase one of those talents. Isn't that amazing? And so there is a great participation of the Israelites in the building of this. Hard-earned work and hard-earned money. Here's those four rods. But there was five rods altogether. See, this rod is right in the middle. And it holds everything together. These boards are all held together by rods. But that middle rod is significant because that middle rod represents the indwelling Holy Ghost. And that indwelling Holy Ghost fitly joins together every member in the body. Isn't that a blessing? And we are. This is almost a type of the body of Christ. We are fitly joined together. We are as one piece. So when one member suffers, the Bible says, we all suffer. And that's what I'm saying. If somebody gets sick here, that person ought to get some phone calls tonight. Amen? That person ought to be visited by the ladies. When one member suffers, we all suffer. The Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Somebody got saved the other day. We all should be rejoicing about it. Amen. We are a house built together. Fitly joined together. There's those cherubims. Put on that second veil as if to remind the priests that they cannot get in here just like Adam and Eve couldn't get back in the garden. Why? Because they're still sinners. And the only way they can get through here, hey, the only way they can get into the glory is they got to have the blood. Amen. They have to have the blood. And the high priest has that blood. And he came once a year. And when he came in there, all right, now this is when they moved the tabernacle from place to place. They always started from the ark, working their way out. They would build the tent itself, and the ark would go in there, and this is a procession right there.
Mm-hmm.
You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, there is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Politics in Israel, and an interview with Professor Yehuda Baer. This is regarding anti-Semitism, hatred of the Jews, is an ever-present danger to the existence of Israel and the Jewish people worldwide. It was a catalyst for the Holocaust, World War II, and Islamic anti-Semitism has motivated Israel's neighbors to seek annihilation of the Jewish state since its inception. Professor Yehuda Baer sees a much greater threat in Islamic manifestation than in its European counterpart. Baer was born in Prague in 1926, immigrated to Israel with his parents in 1939. He was chairman of the International Institute for Holocaust Research at Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem, from 1995 to 2000. A recipient of the Israel Prize, he has written numerous books on anti-Semitism. Professor Baal, have you observed a rise in anti-Semitism in Europe this past year? I think there is indeed a rise there, not so much in public, but more in the general atmosphere. What is fueling this new wave of anti-Semitism in Europe? There have been three such occurrences since World War II, each stronger than the previous. We could be on the threshold of a new escalation. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict contributes to rising anti-Semitism, as does radical Islam, which targets the Jew as its central enemy. Should the Israeli government change its policies to shield Jewish communities from anti-Semitism? With or without anti-Semitism, the Israeli government has to make wise decisions to protect Jewish communities abroad. We live in a world in which many Jews no longer feel secure. Israel sees itself as a representative of the Jewish people worldwide, not only a country for its residents. It needs to be a government that considers how to be accepted by the majority of world Jewry as a religious and social expression of their identity. Which is more dangerous, neo-Nazi or Islamic anti-Semitism? Fundamentalist Islam, which sees both Christians and Jews as its enemies, is more dangerous. Radical Muslims harbor extreme hatred toward Jews, finding justification in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, the Damascus blood libel, and other vicious demonizing of the Jews. Do you see a difference between anti-Semitism in Europe and America? That's really difficult to judge. American anti-Semitism is most prominent in the lower classes of society, while European anti-Semitism also surfaces among intellectuals. The gut level, neo-Nazism is less dangerous than the intellectuals voicing their contempt for the Jews in the media. What's wrong what's going on in Brussels, where Prime Minister Sharon is facing an attempt by Arabs to put him on trial for war crimes? The Belgian constitution allows for such legal proceedings. If it were possible in England, then you would see Israel standing accused of all kinds of things there too. Does anti-Semitism play a role there too? Absolutely. The accusations against Sharon are publicized not only for political impact on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but equally to accuse one Jew and trigger a chain reaction against all others. Do the European governments do enough to fight anti-Semitism in their countries? In Germany and Austria, the governments act against public anti-Semitism and neo-Nazism, but the French and British do very little against the creeping intellectual anti-Semitism. It manifests itself in the media, such as the French newspaper Le Monde and the English paper The Guardian. But anti-Semitism in Europe and North America is only a drop in the bucket compared to the Muslim world, where the real danger is being overlooked. Islamic anti-Semitism is a danger to the very existence of Israel and the Jewish people because, contrary to what goes on in Europe, leading Arab politicians spout anti-Semitism and destruction of the Jews openly. How do you compare the Palestinian smear campaigns with anti-Semitic activities in the West? Palestinian agitation, in my opinion, is only slightly anti-Semitic. Their campaign is more against the State of Israel and less against the Jews. Anti-Semitism is much less prevalent among the Palestinian population than in the rest of the Muslim world. But Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal says the opposite, that Palestinian agitation is much worse than what used to be published by the Nazis. I don't think so. But the Egyptian smear campaign against Israel and the Jews is definitely much more lethal than that of the Nazis. Well, I appreciate that interview that I have quoted from. I do want to add some comments about it. First of all, anti-Semitism is manifested in many, many ways, politically, economically, religiously. But the root of anti-Semitism, that is hatred against the Jews, can be traced all the way back to a prophecy mentioned in Bereshit, that is the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, I will put enmity. Now, enmity, folks, is deep hatred. And the Bible says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the first messianic prophecy in the Holy Scriptures, and it is about the fact that there will always be a anti-Semitism against the Jewish people, because this is a satanic thing. This is a devilish kind of thing. You see, the devil hates the Jews. You say, well, why does he hate the Jews so much? Well, because the Jews gave us a Bible that we can trust. The Jews gave us a plan of salvation that we can believe in. And the Jews gave us a Savior that we can trust in. So with that in mind, the devil has done everything he can under the sun to destroy Israel. He really believes he can destroy Israel. So what he's done, he's used governments, particularly in this generation, the Arab countries, but before that, it was the Nazis, and before that, it was the religious Roman Catholic hierarchy, known better known as the Dark Ages or the Inquisition period. And before that, it was the Romans, and before that, the Greeks and the Babylonians and the Persians and so on. And there's always has been anti-Semitism against the Jews. Now, they may not be able to explain it, but what it is, this is a spiritual battle going on. I know it's manifested politically, economically, socially, and it's manifested religiously. But the crux of the matter is, the root of the problem is that the devil, that old dragon, that serpent, he's the one behind this whole thing. And that's just the bottom line. I'll read Revelation chapter 12 explains this, what I'm saying. Of course, this is somewhat historical, and also will lead up into tribulation period, where the Bible calls that Jacob's trouble. But in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Now here the woman is a type of Israel, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So these 12 stars would represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now, of course, that refers to the devil, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Of course, we know that child is the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Jews brought forth the Lord Jesus. We know Jesus was a Jew. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, of course, that is yet to happen in the millennial kingdom. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That, of course, after crucifixion of Jesus, Jesus did ascend up to the right hand of the Father. And verse 6, and the woman fled in the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Of course, this is now talking about the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 13 says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. So you see, the devil is persecuting the woman, has been persecuting the woman, which of course is a type of Israel, and he will continue to persecute the woman. And in verse 17, and the dragon, which is the devil, was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ. One day, Israel as a nation will receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But you see how the devil is angry with Israel, has sought to persecute Israel because of bringing forth the man-child, the Lord Jesus Christ, and many other reasons as well.
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians and religious commentators have to say about the subject. See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.